Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to continue our study on the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. We're doing a study entitled Things to Come. We're looking at the next prophetic events on God's calendar. And today we'll continue to look at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. But before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for this honor and privilege that it is to open up thy very words, your inspired, preserved, inerrant words as found in this King James Bible. Father, we pray as your word goes forth today that you would use it for your honor and glory. I pray that you would bless the saint of God, encourage them. Amen. Lift them up, Lord. I pray that you would open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes to the wondrous things that you want to show us out of thy words today. And Father, we pray for the listener that's not saved, that if they were to die today, they'd go to hell because of their sins. But Father, give us compassion, making a difference. We pray your word would penetrate their hearts today, Lord, and that they would realize that they're lost and undone, and they're on their way to hell. But they can be saved today through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, your precious Son. We pray for those out there today that's never trusted your Son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood to save them, that this would be the very day of their salvation. Father, we want to just thank you and praise you for whatever you'll choose to do this very day, and it's in Jesus' precious name. We pray and we give thanks. Amen. All right, we began last time to look at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and we started to look at the participants of the marriage. And we started to look at the bride, the church. And the church is mentioned, I believe, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 46. And, of course, here we have in chapter 13 of Matthew several parables that Jesus spoke in. But looking in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And of course, the merchant man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one pearl of great price is the church, his bride, the bride of Christ. And of course, the buyer, the merchant, as I said, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse number 20, we are told that he bought the church. It was a pearl of great price. Why? Because it cost Christ his precious sinless blood to pay for the church. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He sold all that he had. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. So all that he had. Look at it in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians with me, if you would. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yes, he was rich. He was the Lord of glory. But what did he do? He gave up his glory with the Father to come down and take on the form of a man. We read on, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he's had to purchase the church, the bride. We also see that again, we're looking at the participants of the marriage. We saw that the bridegroom is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And now we're looking at his bride, the church. We see that the church, the Lord's bride, is also mentioned in Song of Solomon. If you'll turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 6. In Song of Solomon, chapter 6, in verse number 9, notice, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one, amen. She is the only one. That's mentioning the church. There's only one true church. There's only one bride. Amen. There's not several. There's only one bride, one church. And she's also identified as my dove. My undefiled is but one. We see also that the Gentile brides of Moses, Joseph, and Solomon all picture the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, which is composed of saved heathens, amen. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior since the day of Pentecost until the day of the rapture, amen, that's a time period that we call the church age, will be part of the bride of Christ, will be a participant, amen, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, let's move on and look at some of the other participants. We have the friends of the bridegroom, and these are Old Testament Jewish saints under the law, represented, amen, by John the Baptist. Look at in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, in verse number 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom. So we see another participant is going to be the friends of the bridegroom. And they have begun with the law. Amen. They have begun with the law, the friends of the bridegroom, and ended with John the Baptist. We read in Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The law and prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So then another group of participants at the marriage supper of the Lamb are going to be the friends of the bridegroom. Again, these are Old Testament Jewish saints under the law represented by John the Baptist. And they begin with the law and end with John the Baptist. Now, some other participants, another group of participants, are going to be, I believe, Old Testament Gentiles saved during the law. And these have been present as some kind of ladies in waiting. We see them mentioned as the concubines in Song of Solomon. Let's turn there, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon with me. And in Song of Solomon, look with me in chapter number 6. in verse number 8. Song of Solomon 6:8. We read, "These are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number." They're also described as the daughter of Tyre in Psalm 45:12. So then another group that will be participants at the marriage supper of the Lamb will be the Old Testament Gentiles, saved during the law. Another group that will be participants at the marriage supper of the Lamb are Old Testament saints saved before the law. And these would include Abel and Seth and Noah and Enoch and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And they're referred to as the queens. They're in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 9. They're also referred to as the king's daughters in Psalm number 45, verse 9. And then another group that will be participants at the marriage supper of the Lamb will be tribulation Gentiles, raptured during the tribulation to witness the wedding. And we see them referred to as guests in Luke chapter 14, verse 13, and in Matthew chapter 22, verse 10. And then we see another group of participants at the marriage supper of the Lamb are going to be the virgins. And we see those see the virgins mentioned in Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 8. And we read, "These are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number." And of course, I believe these same virgins are the wise virgins of Matthew chapter 25 in verses 9 through 10, signifying the Jews at the end of the tribulation who are waiting for the Lord to return from the wedding. And again, we see them mentioned in Luke chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Let's go to Luke 12. Luke chapter 12 with me. In Luke 12, 35 and 36, we read, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." And then let's look at the wise virgins and mentioned there in Matthew chapter 25 in verses 9 and 10. Matthew 25, verses 9 and 10. "And the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them and sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." And we certainly know these possibly could be the 144 virgins caught up to the throne at the wedding in Revelation 14, chapter 14, verse 1. We know there'll be 144 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes sealed, amen, during the during the tribulation. Let's look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. Amen. Now, I just want to look again as we looked at the participants of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We saw the bridegroom, amen, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Then we had the church, his bride, amen. And then we saw the friends of the bridegroom, Old Testament Jewish saints under the law, represented by John the Baptist. Then we saw another group of participants, Old Testament Gentiles saved during the law. And then another group was the Old Testament saints saved before the law. And then another group of participants we saw were the tribulation Gentiles raptured during the tribulation to witness the wedding. And then finally we saw the virgins signifying Jews at the end of the tribulation who are waiting for the Lord to return from the wedding. And of course we believe that, or I believe the 144,000 virgins that we see mentioned there in the book of Revelation caught up to the throne at the wedding. Now, before we continue, I want to say this. All of this may not be exactly correct, but I will say it will cover the saved of every age from Adam to the second advent. And we can be sure of this, though. We can be sure, first of all, the bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the bride is the church, his body, made up of all those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior since the day of Pentecost until the day of the rapture. So those are the participants. The participants. Now, we want to look finally, amen, at the pattern of the marriage of the Lamb. The pattern of the marriage of the Lamb. The pattern of the marriage will follow the original pattern of marriage that we find in the New Testament. This marriage consisted of three separate stages called the betrothal, the presentation, and the celebration stages. So let's look first of all at the betrothal stage. It was during this time that the groom's father would promise his son to a chosen girl. This would happen while the couple were children. The father would then make a proper down payment and sign the legal papers. In many cases, the bride and groom had never seen each other, yet they were betrothed. Mary and Joseph are examples of this. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So we see that the betrothal stage had two parts. The first part was the selection of the bride, and the second part was the payment of the dowry. With this in mind, we can realize the bride has been selected for Christ. Now notice, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, in the highest of all dowries has been paid, the dowry being the precious blood of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, we read, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And then we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 18 through 19, "Forasmuch ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now this takes us to the second stage, the presentation stage. It was during this time that the Father would send for the bride. The bride would be brought to the Father's house. And at the proper time, the Father would present the bride to the groom by placing their hands together. No doubt, this second stage has yet to take place, but it will soon start in the rapture of the church as the Father calls for the bride. We read in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." He brings the bride to his house. Amen. In the Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 23, John chapter 14, verse 23, we read, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And then in Jude verse 24, we read, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." And then we have the final stage, the celebration stage. After the wedding, they would have a public marriage supper. It was during such a time that Jesus performed his first miracle, as recorded in John chapter 2, the Gospel of John chapter 2, at the marriage feast that took their place at Canaan. My friend, what a time of celebration as the bride and groom have come together in one of the greatest events of all time. We read in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, "And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." And what a supper, my friend, it will be as the Lord girds himself and serves. In Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 37, we read the following, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. There really is no way to sum up this lesson. However, I believe that leaving you with the psalm of the wedding of the king would be appropriate. So let's turn together in the time that we have remaining to Psalm 45. Psalm 45, we have the psalm of the wedding of the king. Psalm 45. In Psalm 45, we begin in verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Before God has blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemy, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palace, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall thee be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. My dear friends, that ends our study on the marriage Supper of the Lamb. Next time together, we're all together on the pastor study, we'll begin to look at another aspect of things to come. Again, we're looking at the next prophetic events on God's calendar. Well, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor study today. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.